You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and it's that time of the year when we try and get a roundup of what happens across the country within the Irish community. And we had a chat last week with the new Irish ambassador, John Concannon. And while we didn't get an opportunity to talk about his plans because he was so busy telling us who he was and the wonderful things he's been doing in his past, we're going to catch up again. But we're heading out to the West Coast now, and we are going to have a chat with the Consul General in Vancouver, Cathy Keegan. And Cathy...
Not at all. Thank you very much for having me, Austin, and good to see you again.
2024 was a busy year. What we want to do is kind of take a look back, 2024, and some of the highlights. So as you look back, what for you were the highlights of 2024?
Well, you're dead right. I mean, it was a busy year, like every year is. But luckily, it was a busy year that was full of highlights. So the first thing that really jumps out at me is St. Patrick's Day. Now, St. Patrick's Day is always a highlight anyway. But this year, we had the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, visiting Canada. And not only was he out here with us in the West Coast and visited Vancouver, he actually did a full Canada tour, and he was over in Ontario as well, and he got to visit the communities in Ottawa, in Montreal, in Toronto and Vancouver. So for us here in Vancouver, it was fantastic. We had a really brilliant visit. He wasn't here very long because he actually had a full week in Canada, which is an enormous amount of time to get from such a senior minister. And it really shows the value that the Irish government puts on our relationship with Canada and our relationship with the Irish diaspora here in Canada, and that we got to have that much time. And here in Vancouver, we had a brilliant series of events. The wonderful Chamber of Commerce here, ICCC Van, started the day with a business breakfast. We had lots of the community and lots of trade and economic contacts there. We had representatives from Enterprise Ireland and IDA. And again, it's a real treat for us in the West Coast to have them over here because they're headquartered in Toronto. And so we met with business contacts, we met with political contacts here. And for me, the personal highlight of the day was our community reception. So we started the community reception with a little sidebar with the Taoiseach and some representatives of the thriving GAA scene here. And they got to have a little bit of skill showing as well in Stanley Park. So our reception was in Stanley Park Pavilion, but Stanley Park was graced with a little bit of impromptu GAA skills. And then we had hundreds of people from the community and friends of Ireland as well, which is the really special thing about St. Patrick's Day. We get to not only celebrate our own heritage and culture, but bring other people in and show them what we're all about. And then visits are always a highlight, really. So this year we also had some visiting officials from DFA back from our headquarters come out and visit us. So in April we had the Director General Fiona Penalar come out, and it was great for her to be here because a big part of her remit back in headquarters is she is a kind of overseeing a lot of consular work. So she's the overseas consular division, but she also oversees where the funding, the ESP funding comes from, is a big part of what she would be involved in. So for her to meet people on the ground and get to hear about the work we're doing, really, really important. And then in September, we also had a visit from the brand new Director General. She's the Deputy Secretary General of the Department of Foreign Affairs, but she is also the head of the Irish, America and UK division, which is an enormous division, and it's where responsibility for Canada sits. So again, she got to see some of the work we're doing and meet with partners here. And it's just great to get to showcase all of the amazing things that are happening to the people back at home.
I know it is important that you get people coming out from Dublin to get an appreciation. But, you know, it's very hard to submit a report that genuinely reflects the depth of value that the consulate brings to the table. What you're about is bringing a heart. Is it the intangible? And while we talked about Vancouver just there now, I know your territory extends beyond the environs of Vancouver. You've quite a large bit of territory under your ambit there.
I do. Yes, I do. I'm very lucky that I have about one third of the surface area of Canada under my remit. We have the consulate physically is located here in Vancouver, and that's great because we have a function room that we can welcome community groups into. but it extends all over British Columbia, Alberta, Yukon, and Northwest Territories. So another big highlight this year was actually the first visit that I took to Yukon, and that happened in September. And that was wonderful because not only did I get to go there for the first time, but I went there as part of an organized group of European Consul Generals going together. So I went with six of my colleagues, and so we were able to really have a lot more impact and meet with a lot more senior people because we went together telling that story of Ireland's. For me, it was telling Ireland's place in Europe and all of the opportunities that were there. But it meant that we got to meet a lot of people, including people that I never expected to meet. So in Yukon, there is an informal Irish-speaking group that they actually meet up together. There's just a small group of them, including one person who... who's there. A lot of them were born in Ireland, but one of them is somebody who's one of their parents is Irish, and they just decided they wanted to learn the language and were kind of instrumental in setting up this informal group. And that is the amazing thing about Irish culture and connection. So when you see that, it's just really, really special. So I got to have a cup of coffee with them. There wasn't something that was planned, and it was just really lovely to get to meet them. And truly, there is an Irish community everywhere that you go.
We have a finger in the pie all over the place. And to be able to get the Irish language being spoken in somewhere like the Yukon, that's the kind of thing that puts the hair up on the back of your neck.
It really is. It's so special. It's really, really wonderful. And one of the things that, like, Irish is really undergoing a real revival at the minute, and you can see it as a huge cultural phenomenon that's happening. You know, you can see it in our music, you can see it in our film, but you can also see it in the amount of people who are either dusting off the Irish that they have or don't have any at all, and they're trying to embrace it and really seeing the significance of Irish as being something that just, it connects you to your culture and heritage in a different way. And over here in British Columbia alone, because of the way that settlement ended up working, we have about half of the Indigenous First Nations languages that are surviving in Canada are actually in British Columbia. And so language preservation and language revitalization is a real kind of part of the relationships that we're building with the First Nations here, because we have a lot that we can tell and share in terms of our you know, rescuing the Irish language from near extinction to being something that is our official first language, but more importantly, something that is just constantly being imbued with new life. And it is becoming not technically our first language, but truly culturally revived into our first language. So that's something that I love getting to talk about and share learnings with the First Nations when I'm lucky enough to get to engage with them.
And of course, that's reflective of the change in attitude. You talked there in terms of ministerial visits and the importance of it, and also departmental visits. But I know from a cultural perspective, and you mentioned the sport, and we'll come back to that, but you talked in terms of culture. The film festival is big out there, Dave. Mm-hmm. That, I know it spreads across the country, but I think, as far as I recall, last year, were there not some films as well as well?
Yeah, and that is something that we really wanted to have a focus on that. So here, again, in Vancouver is nicknamed Hollywood North. And it's really common to walk past a filming set just when you're on your way into work, or sometimes for people who are commuting by car, sometimes to feel a bit thwarted because traffic has been diverted because there's filming on the streets here. And so it's really important for us to connect our really vibrant filming industry in Ireland and also our incredible incentives for co-production to highlight that. So this year last year, a big highlight in December, the Whistler Film Festival, but also Content Summit is here. So there were Irish films shown in many of the film festivals in Western Canada during the year. And it was fantastic to get to highlight them. And in fact, in the Vancouver Film Festival, one of the films that was shown was Fríochaí, which is an Irish feminist folklore horror in the Irish language, which is just incredible. And it was so well attended, and it was a brilliant movie. I recommend people check it out if they get a chance. But I love the fact that it was something that was able to tick that many boxes, and it really shows how vibrant the content coming out of Ireland is. But also at this, the Whistler Film Festival, it's a really important film festival in terms of industry. And so there's a lot of networking happens, a lot of connections are made there, and there's a lot of industry related panels that happen as well as the film screenings. So I was delighted the consulate was able to organize for the first time ever a visit of the head of US partnerships for Screen Ireland, who's based in Los Angeles, to come up here on his first ever visit to Canada and be part of the Whistler Film Festival with us. And our colleagues in Tourism Ireland also became a partner in the Whistler Film Festival. And they had an amazing kind of industry reception, which showcased the amazing locations that there are in Ireland for filming. So it was a real trade mission, and it was a way of highlighting Ireland to industry, highlighting our incredible tax incentives for co-production, highlighting the beauty of Ireland as a place to visit, as well as locations to film. It was a great vehicle to have as the ambassador, our new ambassador, John Concannon's first visit over here to Western Canada. So he was here in Vancouver, but also came up to Whistler to the festival and got to be part of some of the activities up there. And then we also had screenings of Irish films that were a brilliant selection of, I think they were, they told the variety of Ireland, and not just, you know, not just the most contemporary version of Ireland, but didn't shy away from our history. So the first film that was shown was the documentary Housewife of the Year. And the director of that film, Kieran Cassidy, was over, and he did a Q&A as part of it. And just talking about the sociology behind that and how much Ireland has changed and the journey of Irish women and what it means in terms of how much Ireland has changed since we joined the EU, how much Ireland has changed in terms of attitudes to women. And I highly recommend people check this documentary out if they haven't seen it, because it's beautiful. It tells the story so authentically, and it's so warm. And then we also had a film called Fiddle Gurum, which is in the Irish language, and it's all about the power of music to heal and connect and restore. And it's just a lovely, lovely story. And then we also had Sharp Corner, which is an Irish-Canadian co-production. It's a bit a thriller. And the evening, the main set of screenings culminated with Kneecap. So I had the great experience of meeting someone who didn't really know anything about Ireland, was just checking out this showcase. And he had gone to see Housewife of the Year, and he said it left him with loads of questions. And then the next thing that he saw was Kneecap, and he had even more questions about how we went from one of these to the other. So it was a brilliant showcase, and 50% of the content that we screened was in the Irish language, which was very special.
You had Roddy Doyle out there as well, I think.
Yes, he was indeed. We actually had a great showing again for Irish writers at the Vancouver Writers Festival, and several of them went to the Calgary Writers Festival just before they go. It goes Calgary, Vancouver, one after the other. So we had Anne Enright here as well as Roddy, and we also had Diana Beresford Kruger, who is she's the last person to ever be raised under the Breton system in Ireland. So when she was growing up in Kerry, but she is an incredible like botanist, ecologist, and she has done so much work in her many decades here in Canada, preserving Canadian native seeds and really operating. Now this is very simplistic in terms of what she does, but essentially her arboreum that she has out there almost operates the way Seed Savers does in Ireland. She's preserving these things that would have gone extinct otherwise, and is also, she provides saplings to people. You can come and collect them, and she's, you know, repopulating all of these native species, which is so incredible. So yes, it was great to have them out there, and really the flag has been flying very high here in Western Canada in terms of our culture. And just speaking of to move to Alberta, the cultural scene in Alberta is incredible, and the Irish Cultural Society there in Calgary, for any of your listeners who are in the Calgary area who haven't already checked out their Irish Cultural Society, it's a beautiful building, but it's also programmed with such warmth and heart. And every time I go there, it's just a delight, because not only are there wonderful community groups who are gathering there, but they put on great great gigs, like in a beautiful venue that they have there. And they have wonderful Irish folk in particular is very big in Alberta. So the folk festival's there, and the Edmonton Folk Festival is going to be coming up again in August. And there's always brilliant Irish acts playing out over there. It's wonderful to see. And we also have Celtic Fest. So like no year's discussion of highlights could possibly happen without Celtic Fest. So Celtic Fest is the flagship St. Patrick's Day event that happens over here. It is so well organized, so well attended. It's just a really, really incredible event. And the board are, you know, when you see the size and the caliber of this event, you would not believe how few people behind the scenes are volunteering to make it happen. So I have to say the festival director, Rachel Quinn, has done an incredible job. Alan Cosgrove, who has he doesn't only help out with Celtic Fest, he's on the board of several different organizations, but himself and Harry Cusson, who is the president, they've created something incredibly special. And Celtic Fest is coming into its 21st year this year, so it's going to be a highlight again this year. It's going to be slightly different this year in terms of there's going to be kind of ticketed events spread out around the city rather than just in one location, but it is still going to be fantastic. Such a variety of events. There's going to be free family-friendly fun, which is always such a treat, and seeing the kids having such a great time. And especially we have so many little Irish Canadians now, that getting to see these Canadian kids being so connected with their Irish heritage is wonderful. But then they organise everything from choir nights to cinema. There's an Irish-themed burlesque comedy show. There's other comedy shows. There's anything that you could possibly imagine is part of Celtic Fest, and it's all fantastic. So everybody keep an eye out on Celtic Fest socials, because they will be announcing the lineup for their main concert soon.
One more thing before we go and talk about sport. Dance. And Irish dance, and I don't know, this would be more in 2025. Is Riverdance on the schedule? I think they're doing a 25th tour of Canada coming up, so they're probably coming
in
as well.
They sure are. Yes, they sure are, and we're very lucky. Actually, quite a lot of their tour of Canada is here in Western Canada, so they're going to be in. I can't give too much away because it's not officially launched, but I can say that it is going to be definitely coming to a city or town near you. If you're in Western Canada, they're going to be hitting quite a few locations. It's such a good show, so I really hope that people come out and give them a good welcome. And I would also say too, if there are any Irish dancing schools who are listening to this, who are in any way interested, don't hesitate to get in contact with the consulate, because we do want to connect and make as much of a thing about Riverdance being here as we possibly can. They not only put on a good show, but they're so, you know, like they're like a traveling community in themselves, and just plug into the Irish community wherever they are in such a big way. And something that I would really hope happens as part of their visit is that we can make some connections in terms of our Irish dance and Indigenous dance, because, you know, river dance is our Indigenous dancing. And, you know, I know I've spoken to you before about Heartsbeat and how special that is. And that was another big highlight from last year, that once again Heartsbeat took place. And it's such an amazing celebration and an overlap and a connection between Irish and the First Nations Indigenous people here. There's so much that connects us in terms of the way we tell stories, the way we talk about our land, the way we are connected to our culture, the way we have originally an oral history and we've kept that storytelling traditional alive. And of course, even though there's very different forms of dance in the way that we dance, there is these thematic things that link us, and many Indigenous people have river dances and water dances. So to have our river dance coming here, it's something that I think would be really special to make that connection, and something I'm looking forward to.
The GAA has expanded phenomenally in your neck of the woods.
Yes.
And it's an indication, of course, of the influx of young Irish people, a very vibrant setup within the GAA, both football and hurling.
There is, and we have a GAA board here in Vancouver, and that's only kind of like in the greater Vancouver area. It's absolutely extraordinary. So a little over 10 years ago, there was one club. Now there's nine and a divisional board. And really excitingly, one of those new clubs is Lekela, which is a youth club. And not only does it have kind of like younger people and people who are the children of Irish people who have stayed here, but my favourite thing about the GAA here is how much it brings new people into our sport. Because, you know, I know I've talked to you this before, but in terms of our culture, whether it's our sport, whether it's our music, it's fantastic that we have that and that we keep it. But the biggest thing that Irish people do is they share that culture. Yes, we kind of like we stick together in pockets and we meet up, you know, but it's not precious. It's not something we use to shut people out. It's something that we use to bring people in. So seeing I was talking with during the year, I was talking to one of the main organisers of Lekela, Paul McCauley, hello. But he was telling me about how the kids were walking along and they had their hurls and how many kind of like Canadian kids were looking at them being like, hey, what's this? Like, what are they getting to do? And that level of interest is so amazing. And last year there was in Kelowna, there was a Western Canada Youth GAA meetup and it was all like under 10s, like young people, getting together, playing it. Some of them had never played it before. People traveled up from Vancouver. People came over from Calgary and all seeing them meet together. And it's really good, especially for, we're lucky that we have this enormous and thriving scene here. But in some places, you know, and in Kelowna, which hosted it, you know, I was talking to some of the people there who said, you know, my grandkids are here and I've been trying to keep them connected. And they watch the GAA at home. They've seen the All-Ireland, but they've never met other kids that they can play with. And so seeing these kids who were playing for the first time, but taking to the field, incredible. And so it's really great to see that growth. We also had coming over from Vancouver Island, one of the teams that were in the junior championships, only two of the people on the team, and they were there winning their medals, were actually Irish born. Everybody else was of Irish heritage, you know, from different countries, not even just Canadian. And that was amazing, you know, like, and they're there and they're playing to such a high standard that they're winning medals at championships. It's so powerful to see. And of course, in terms of the highlight last year, Vancouver got to host, the Vancouver Divisional Board hosted in the city of Burnaby, the second ever Canada National Championships. They had over 96 games over 2 days. I think anybody who played there or witnessed the play there knows that there was skin and hair flying. Everybody brought it all to the field. It was an incredible weekend of sport and an incredible weekend of connection afterwards. And it was wonderful to see. We even had teams coming from, some players coming from New York. So we had people coming from America as well to be part of the Canada scene. And I think we're just going to see it grow and grow and grow. And the constant arrival of new diaspora is also just constant new injection of skills. So I think anybody who was at the CNCs can agree the caliber of GAA that's being played over here is extraordinary. It really is.
And when you say that, the influx of new diaspora, that also helps and gives the likes of the Chamber new blood. And that's a very important group as well, that there's the Ireland Canada Chamber of Commerce, the Ottawa or the Vancouver branch of that, and the thriving business, because I know when the minister comes out, it's very important that there are trade missions and that they're able to plug in to for bilateral trade. But these networks are so crucial to the longer term relationship.
That is absolutely true. And I think the thing is that is so special about the chamber here is they are a chamber and all of the things that means. But one of the things they really excel at doing is being a professionals networking organization, because things are very spread out in Canada. There's a lot more space for people to be spread out. And it's a really invaluable way of professionals getting together. And a lot of the people who come over are starting out in their field, or they're still quite, you know, lower down in the rungs. And so sometimes if you think of America, if you think of a Chicago or a Boston or a New York, you know, like you have generations upon generations of highly successful people who are at senior levels. And the diaspora here are creating that, like, you know, so there's people who are the whole way up the chain, but there's a lot of people who are coming in a little bit lower down, and being able to plug into the people who have already started to be successful here is really, really important. But it's also so important in terms of future relationships between Ireland and Canada. One of the most powerful economic calling cards that Ireland has, it's our people. If companies are coming over to Ireland, we have a highly educated workforce who are workforce ready. They have been, you know, like industry related curriculums. They don't have just theoretical qualifications. They are ready to hit the ground running in whatever their field is. It's an enormous attractor for foreign direct investment into Ireland. But it's also incredible when those people go to other countries, because when Irish people come to a country, they enrich the country that they come to. They bring their skills, they bring their energy, they bring their enthusiasm, and they inject that into the workforce and the industries wherever they are. And whether it's now or whether it's in 30 years time, those are the people that, you know, the person who is in my role then will be contacting and being, you know, asking for connections or looking for ways that we can partner. Because one of the best things about Irish people is they completely embrace whatever new country they move to while also completely remaining Irish. And I think that's something really, really beautiful. And not every country is able to do that. But we never really leave Ireland behind, even when we have completely embraced the new place that we're in. It's not that we're not committed to wherever we've become a citizen of, but I think Irish people are always dual citizens.
2024 looks like it's going to be a hard act to follow.
It is in terms of the particular highlights and the things that will happen is different. But, you know, what I really want to see in 2025, and I think we will see, is a repeat of the things that we did well. Because, you know, when I'm speaking about this, I know I'm talking a lot about what the consulate did, but a lot of what the consulate does is work with the community groups who are doing things, you know. And every time I talk about the community are doing this, the community are doing the other things, that's volunteers who are giving of their time and their energy to bring Irish people together and to do Irish things. We are so lucky in Western Canada that there are so many different organizations, whether it is the GAA or it is, you know, like we've got a women's network here. We've got Vancouver Queer Irish. We've got the Chambers. We've got over in Alberta. We've got in both Edmonton and Calgary. There's sports and cultural societies there that have their own centre that are bringing in people and like having performances and bringing people together. We're also lucky that we have businesses who are supportive of the community and bring people in. In Vancouver here alone, we have the IRL group who are, they do construction as well, but they also are a hospitality group. So we have lots of Irish pubs that they're running that have incredible Irish acts coming in and provide a home away from home supportive atmosphere. We have the Irish Heather, which is in Chinatown here, which is run by Sean Heather and his amazing wife Erin, and it is just such a hub for bringing people together. It's beautiful food as well, and again, having those businesses that are places that people can go, all of that is work that is going to continue and grow. Because the other great thing that Irish people do is you sit three Irish people down together and within half an hour they've come up with some kind of a scheme to do something. So yes, 2024 was brilliant, but 2025 is going to be even better, because I know we're just going to keep growing on what we're doing, and I'm excited about it.
I've heard that you can't walk around the streets of Vancouver these days but you're going to hear an Irish accent.
100%.
So obviously the Irish have become very much a part of and a visible part of what is the life of Vancouver and Western Canada?
Completely. We have. And, we've talked, 1 in 7 Canadians have Irish heritage. So this is not a new story, but it is certainly a new wave of Irish people. And it is very visible. It's not quite as literally visible now because it is the winter. But in the summer, shout out to O'Neill's for providing the unofficial Irish uniform. That means you can literally see Irish people coming. But it is. It is really incredible the amount of people who are over here and the how much they are contributing to sectors that really, really need an injection of labour and enthusiasm here. And certainly there are several sectors where things are completely booming. We have, like, in the life science industries, we have a lot of people who are coming over and who are fantastically trained to be here. But in the service industry in particular, Irish people are so visible because we bring that warmth and energy and enthusiasm. And, you know, I know so many businesses that have hired maybe their first Irish person, and within a week, they've pushed that person to something that's public facing. And then it's just like, we need this friendly person interacting with the public. So it's great. We're very, very visible here. And it's really fantastic to see.
You know, that warmth and enthusiasm, as I say, it's exuding there from yourself, that you'd nearly be kind of senses, I need to move from Eastern Canada out to Vancouver. We can't.
You'd be very welcome, Austin. Come join us.
We can't do that. Cathy, it's time for us to wrap up. It's been wonderful catching up with you. And as I say, obviously, that you're able to be there and that the joie de vivre that comes across is an indication of how things have changed in Vancouver and how things have grown. Because from what was a small community that was from a previous wave of immigration has been revitalized, and that revitalization is coming across very strong in how you talk about the last 12 months. Cathy, it's been an honor and pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Austin. Take care.